Senin ne gidiyor o?
Ekim kurdu vittire ve yana bağını ve kafanı se ve kafanı kafanı.
Very good, Jeffrey.
This is the first episode of 1F Jeff the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Are you here? I'm here. I think we're all here, aren't we?
1F Jeff, the podcast is like riding a feral unicorn through a storm of electric bagpipes.
Took me a long time to come up with the name 1F Jeff. I spent, honestly, months or weeks, maybe, thinking about what I should call this thing. Eventually landed on 1F Jeff.
1F Jeff, the podcast. 1F Jeff, the podcast.
1F Jeff, the podcast.
In part because it's already my branding, and we know how important consistent branding is.
Yo, 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 J to the E to the F, but not to the other F.
And also because it allows it to be anything at all. What do you think of that name?
Oh, it's a bloody brilliant name, Jeff.
I've also spent a lot of time over the last month or two trying to figure out what this podcast is about.
What are we doing here?
Maybe it doesn't need to be about anything.
I want a whoopee cushion, Uncle Jeff.
Maybe it can be about everything.
I think we just become everything.
Maybe the meaning will be revealed as the podcast goes.
Whoa. 1F Jeff the podcast. It's like a cosmic journey, man.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay, this is WJFK, Hatter Station on the North Coast, home of the flame-throwing hippos.
Jeff, with you here? I'll be here with you till 7 in the morning.
Hello, it's me leaving a voicemail.
Just calling to see how you are.
You think Satan would make a good senator? No.
What are you doing?
Jeff is so smitten.
The Common School Journal.
The wine is good, Jeff, by the way.
Psychologically impaired.
You really got a fist of cups.
Why are you being so heartless?
Do I hate you? No, I don't hate you.
Really, you just try not to hold.
Again, I'm sorry for lashing out on text.
Can't have a conversation about emotion.
He would yell at you and you would cry.
Happy birthday.
I'll be up for a while.
May 2nd, 1989, Tuesday. Election day.
This is Jeff, by the way.
Friday, 9:44 p.m.
Beyond that, audio detritus. This podcast is just an excuse for me to sit down and talk to people for a couple hours.
I'm enjoying speaking.
People that I know. That's how you pronounce it with the I? Cauliflower?
What? How do you pronounce it?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
People that I don't know.
The cow knows it's dying, you throw it away.
People that I would like to know better.
Having fresh egg plug is, you're doing it right.
We sit down and we just talk. We have a conversation. We have a real, genuine conversation in a way that I don't feel like many people do anymore. And that feels special.
You're the best, Jeff.
And it is special, you know, because everybody wants to be heard. Everybody's got a story to tell. A lot of people don't have anybody to tell it to. Or a lot of people don't tell it because they don't think that it's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
It sure is, isn't it? Also, I should mention that some of the material in here is a little bit inappropriate. So if you're listening with your children, maybe don't listen with your children. This is the first episode of 1F Jeff the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Are you here? I'm here. I think we're all here, aren't we?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
No, just making shit up.
Yeah.
Just fake numbers flying around.
Existing, we're existing, so that's something.
Yes.
I mean, that's really something if you think about it.
It is.
The older I get, the more I'm
a
like,
miracle.
What the fuck are we doing here? Like, how did this happen? Right?
We'd wake up sometime, I don't know, between like 3:30 and 5 in the morning and do a bathing ritual. And people always tried to get there on time because the later you were, the colder the water was for your 5 a.m. bathing ritual.
Bathing ritual? Is it just you take a bath? Or
I think, like a lot of religions, there's a lot of ritualistic shit that happens here. And
sure.
There's not much to it other than getting cleaned up.
But are you bathing yourself?
But if you're doing it with the intent of, you know, like whatever,
like a mindful bathing.
Yes. Okay. That's a good way of putting it. Mindful bathing. Yeah. We would make prasadam, which was dinner.
Okay.
But again, there's like
a fancy
this
word for it.
Ritual,
right.
But
right.
It's not just the word. You put your full intent into making it as close to divine as possible. And if you offer the food to a god, they'll eat it. But because they're on a different plane, the food remains, but now it's blessed and it's become prasadam, not dinner.
I'm already doing that thing where I'm thinking
You're censoring yourself. Don't do that.
Censoring myself, but also being aware of how others are perceiving me at all times. Right. And the anxiety of that. Is that a natural human experience? Is that something that you feel?
Sure. I definitely feel that. Although I do think that changing your behavior and censoring yourself to alter the people's perceptions of you is probably not ideal. Unless you're like being a complete dick all the time.
It's definitely not ideal. Right. But how often are you in your purest form of Jeff? Like distilled down to the essential elements of Jeff. Isn't a lot of life a performance?
I think there's a pressure within our society to say, I'm this way. This is my identity, blah, blah, blah. And I struggle with that quite a bit still. Right. What I've learned though, and what I liked about the concept of duality is that you can be all those things at once. I can be someone who has taken someone else's life, be someone who finds other people's lives precious, and also be someone that gets so pissed off sometimes I just wish I could, you know.
Of course.
You know, really throttle that guy.
Right.
Right. You can be all those things and it's okay. I just feel like there's so much pressure on people to try to say, define yourself and it can only be this and you can't be this and you can't be this. Like,
right.
You can be all those things. Humans are highly complex.
The struggle to make yourself a certain thing is ruining you for the other things that you could possibly be.
I did feel kind of scared all the time.
Huh.
And kind of like scared of, kind of back to the whole fitting in thing. Cause like if I would really be myself and like show some deep emotional sensitive parts of me, it was not received very well.
We're in the Midwest, Andy.
I know. Yeah.
I mean.
Right. Yeah. Precisely. So I was kind of just like, all right, well, the way that we get by in this family is laughing. Humor was a
always
huge
good.
Healing yeah. thing for all of us. And always that's kind good. Of how yeah. we, that's kind of like one of the ways that we can still relate to each right. other, which is good. That's a blessing. But yeah, everything kind of just needed to be okay all the time. And if it wasn't, then the world was ending. Like the world would end if things were not okay. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My therapist told me recently, she pointed out, because comedy was a big thing in my family and just in my life. It's just been the way that I've, like, as an outcast in middle school and stuff, it was the way that I was able to, you know. But my therapist pointed out, because we were talking about something serious, and as soon as we did it, I would like to be a silence and I'd crack a joke. Yep. She'd be like, that's that thing you do.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, it is the thing that I do.
I had a therapist point that out to me, too, where I started, it was actually in couples therapy, and I was laughing. And the therapist was like, why are you laughing right now? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, is it not funny?
I picked up ballroom dancing. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And what was the impetus for that? Just like something you've been curious about or just?
COVID, I think, kind of reset me in a way.
Sure.
And somehow I got in this kick of, let me try and learn things that I feel like I'm bad at. Because I spent so long, you know, through my 20s, doing things that I'm very good at. Like music I've done a while and research and whatever. And so I was like, what am I not good? Well, for some reason, I always thought I wouldn't be good at guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Just the physical motion is unlike other instruments that I've played. And then dancing, I always thought myself to, I'm slow at picking up choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very, very good for my brain and my soul, is to pick something up, to be a student again. I want to keep doing that, actually. I think it's actually a blessing to start from zero. And it also taught me to be a better teacher. I've been too used to being fluent at what I do. I forget what the beginner's mind is like.
I think that the popularity of these long rambling podcasts, not that this is a rambling by any means at all. This is very,
I know, I'm very prepared.
I think the popularity of those that's blown up over the last 5 to 10 years kind of correlates with the loss of the ability to converse, because people, instead of actually conversing, they'll just sit there and listen to other people converse.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. It's that parasocial relationship where, you know, it's like when you watch pornography, you think you're having sex. It's like part of your brain does. It's when you're listening to other people talk, rambling in a way you would talk at a diner, that part of the serotonin is like going off in your brain.
Huh, that's interesting that you compared the podcast to pornography. I'll take it.
She goes to New York. Another one's in love with the Empire State Building, and she goes to New York, and like she's like, goes to the Empire State Building and she puts her body up against it and starts like humping it. And a cop comes up and is like, I'm sorry, ma'am, you can't
That's awesome.
You can't do that to the
No,
What do you mean? You don't stop people from humping walls in New York City. I thought they do.
I mean,
shit
this
like
is what happens. This is what happens in the movie. I'm the documentary. Oh, so I'm just telling you right, what the reality was. Yeah,
that's bullshit. They should have let her finish.
I don't know what the law is about that particularly, but you know,
humping walls in New York City, like people, you know, crackheads be humping walls. Let them finish.
Yeah, I could kind of see it, but I could also see like the cops who are working by one of the biggest tourist attractions in the entire city.
Don't want a woman scaring the kids.
Don't want
man.
A woman humping the building.
The building. Yeah.
Please don't fuck the building. We don't have to write it down. But
there's something very like not romantic, but like kind of epic about falling in love with like an iconic like building or structure, like a Ferris wheel or an Empire State Building. Like that makes me want to write a movie about something like that.
Yeah, but there's love of the thing, and then there's like wanting to fuck it.
Yeah, totally.
And that's I think that the Chrysler Building is a very attractive building. I think it's a great building.
Yeah.
But the distance from here to me wanting to fuck it, it's quite a hike.
I set up the sign language interpreting program at a music festival. It's called Electric Forest. It's okay, up in Michigan.
Yeah, I've heard
Do
of
you
it.
Know of it?
I've heard of it.
It's fucking awesome. So it's an EDM festival, mm-hmm. an electronic dance music festival. So that was interesting in itself, and just interpreting for electronic music. You're basically, I call it like a rave cheerleader, where you're trying to get the deaf people to have the same experience that the hearing people are having. So you're doing a lot of like interpretive dance almost. And I'm trying to show what these noises sound like these womp, womp, womp. And these like noises with my hands and with my body, almost like channeling like the music. So that was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Teaching is really, really hard. It's hard to figure out what you have control over. You know, if you do experiments or something like something very simple and like, was it Mendeleev growing beans? You need like 100 beans or something to figure out if the fertilizer is any good.
Okay.
I'm not going to teach 100 courses in my lifetime.
Right.
So you don't have the statistics. It's all just vibes. I mean.
Oh, I see.
It's hard to tell cause from effect.
Right.
I mean, there's some evidence in literature you can kind of use, but.
But you get reviews and stuff like that. So you get some idea of how we much get our the kids Uber like ratings, you. Oh, right.
Which I think it can. It might remove the very worst of it, but it obviously causes issues when you ask students to give 5-star ratings.
So if you're a friendly, jovial professor, you can keep this. And it may be easy. Then that's what
the pressure for grade inflation is very high, and the pressure for academic integrity is pretty low. It's all personal. Huh. You have to press against the system.
I know what it's like to eat government cheese and government bread from the National Labor Relations Board.
What kind of cheese is that? Cheese? Is it a cheddar?
Or I think it's, I always like thought it was American? Like Velveeta. It's like American cheese.
Right. Yeah. So like cheese food.
Yeah, just like the orange block.
Yeah.
And like having grown up that way, I understand, you know, it's not like my dad's any richer than he was when I was a kid.
Right.
And so I'm still very much connected to that world. And there's real economic distress. There's real questions about how you pay for medical care.
Absolutely.
How you pay for this.
Absolutely.
And they do see a lot of, you know, waste. And there is a lot, some things
corruption,
are fake.
They see all this, right? Elites taking over.
Exactly.
You know, they see all of it. If you make less than 50 grand in this country, you're fucked. And Trump, you know, he's a pull of shit, but he said, I'm going to help you people. And right. The Democrats said, oh, the economy's doing great.
And that gets to be a product that goes back to that identity thing we talked about.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if you identify with just this, and this is all you know, and these are the only people you hang out with.
Yeah.
You're never going to know that.
I was like feeling no pain, loving life, literally laying down watching movies.
Sure.
For 10 hours.
I've never had fentanyl, but I'm sure it's probably.
It was good.
Yeah. I'm sure it's got to be good.
I felt nothing. So that was weird. And then they tell you to push and then a baby comes out.
If you could just forget things, it would be so much easier to just do what you want to do.
Well, right. It's the whole thing that's limiting you, right? Isn't it? Like, you know, all the things that you were, all the memories of failures and successes in your life, and then all the anxiety about what could happen if you could free yourself of all these things and you could literally do anything, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But memories are also nice sometimes, right? Happy memories.
I guess.
My mom got me some heroin.
She's a good mom. And a little tearing up a little bit, actually.
We drove out there and I didn't sleep for like 11 days. It was
bad.
There's really no explanation for it. I mean, you cannot describe it to someone who hasn't gone through it. It's a weird kind of hell. But on the 11th day, I was laying on the floor and I was reading this book. And all of a sudden, I noticed the book was on my chest. And I was like, oh my God, I just fell asleep. And I looked at the clock and I'd been asleep for like 45 minutes. And I have never been so happy in my life. I was like, that meant like I'm beating it. This is like really happening now. Like I'm not going to feel like that forever.
You're actually, yeah,
sleeping. And I was really like overflowing with a kind of joy.
Did you read the article in the Times about the happiness study, the longest happiness study that's ever been done?
Oh, I think I did. The Harvard.
I don't know what school.
I think they're Harvard students.
What it was, but it was like 50 years or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, essentially it was the stuff that was like other people. It was like doing things for other people, being with other people, talking to other people, interacting with other people. These are the things that generally bring us happiness.
Isn't that baffling?
It's
why? Not. Why is it in a time of ultimate freedom and material abundance that we do that less than ever before? Is there just something broken with the human software?
If you could experience pure bliss, would you be willing to abandon your personality completely?
I don't know what pure bliss entails.
Okay, that's besides the point. I mean, just in theory, there is a thing such as pure bliss.
Exactly,
of course, you can't know what it feels like. But what if I do that?
What if I abandon my personality for this and I'm disappointed by it? I'm like, oh, this is actually not that great.
You wouldn't be. Your personality is the part of you that's getting disappointed.
Oh, I see. Would it be permanent?
I mean, I guess you could get your personality back, but I think once you experience pure bliss, you're probably not going to want your personality back, I would hope.
If you truly get into a relationship with a tree, if you tend to the tree, if you sit with a tree, if you meditate with this one tree over and over and over every single day, it truly is such a teacher. Stuff starts happening. Like it starts like giving you gifts, like weird fucking shit starts happening.
Huh. And do you have a tree that you do this with?
I do. I have one that's the tree that's right outside my bedroom window. So it protects my bedroom.
Right.
It's right over my bedroom and I feed it water and I also feed it. So I use my menstrual blood and feed it menstrual blood every month.
All right.
And so that's a whole thing. So because the menstrual blood has like vitamins and minerals in it is good for plants, but then it's also your DNA.
Sure.
And so the plant is like knowing your DNA and is like, you know, and then the animals that come to that tree and like the squirrels and the birds and like the life that lives in that tree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that tree will like give me little gifts, like a pine cone from that tree fell just like on my front doorstep and it protects my bedroom, you know, and I just hang out and you can get as weird as you want to get with it. You can have conversations with it. You can ask it its name. You can like hang out fully with a tree. You can fuck a tree. Kiss it.
You've never fucked a tree.
Never fucked a tree.
So that'd be great content if you had, by the way. This whole conversation
Kiss it. It's a real tree hugger to the next degree.
I love it. I couldn't do it because I don't have any menstrual blood though. Well, I would have to like check off on it or something.
I use spit too. If I don't have anything else to offer, I'll just use my spit. I'll spit on the tree.
But you do it respectfully, like at the base. You're not spitting on the tree.
A disrespectful thing because a tree's language, if you think about it, is water, is soil, is nutrients.
Right.
And so speaking in its language is like, this is what I have to offer you, is the water from it. It's like Dune.
I saw one of these co-counselors that I didn't know that well in a pizza shop at like 3 a.m.
Mm.
And I told him this story and he dropped a bombshell on me. That was so beautiful. He said, Jack, you think you have any idea what dopamine or serotonin actually is just because you know like what the compound is called? You think you know what it is? I'm like, it's a chemical. And he's like, sure, you can categorize it as a chemical, but you don't know what it actually is. You assuming that you have any idea what's going on here at all in your body and brain is completely incorrect. And I was so taken aback. I started crying and I hugged him. And I was like, you're right. I just have to admit to myself that I have no idea what's going on here. And I never, ever, ever will. And I'm okay with that.
There's no concrete evidence that Jesus Christ actually was a figure that lived and breathed.
Huh.
And that shook me.
Yeah, I have never heard that.
Yeah.
I like the idea of knowing that Jesus was just a cool, like, hippie who was tearing shit up out there, you know?
Of the Bible, Jesus is the best character.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. He's the rebellious hippie.
Yeah, he took in all the misfits, made them feel welcome. And I think that's a nice story, whether he's real or not.
Turned water into wine, which is the best party trick you can possibly yeah. do. I mean,
you know, like girls had like genital warts down to their ankles until you explained to them that like, you could just go to the doctor and they just never knew. Sure, it's it's that's seriously sad.
Right. Down to your ankles though. That's gotta be a long, I've never heard of that shit before.
The specific girl I'm thinking of was one of the smartest people I met in Missouri.
And she's like, the one who has the genital warts down to the ankles.
Yeah, she just thought like everyone else there does, that there's something wrong with her specifically.
There's a lot of genital warts in Missouri then.
Yeah.
They used to have on the license plate the genital word state, I think.
If you look at Mario Kart, he doesn't move. You're Mario guy. He just stays there. And right. then the screen moves.
Right.
You know, so it's like, and that's like his point was that's how reality is actually happening at a more real level, is like your consciousness doesn't move through space. It's like the space is loading into the consciousness, is moving into you, you know. Huh.
Another technology-based metaphor for higher consciousness.
We could very well just be in like the VR that people loaded into a billion years ago right now.
Sure. Because
and we're just about to do it again, like one more layer deeper. So it makes sense that this immersive, like these technology has a lot of, you know, as below, so above, et cetera, et cetera.
What was the first thing you fed him?
The pediatrician told us to give him oatmeal first.
And that's considered a solid food?
It's considered a solid food. I guess it's like a smooth food that they can try. And if they gag on it, it's not a big deal. So
yeah, if I had oatmeal first, I'd be like, no, fuck solid food. This is terrible.
Yeah, but they remember they haven't tried anything. Their scope of relativity is zero.
And it's probably good to start so on a low bar, because then you can only go up from oatmeal.
Exactly.
Right? If you start with like spare ribs or something, you're going to inevitably have to, the bar is going to have to be super high.
I think the taste buds have to develop. Like, I don't think you're born with taste buds. It's the more you eat, the more your taste buds develop.
Then they slowly die as you get older too.
Do they?
For sure. Yeah. That's why younger people don't like to eat asparagus and things like that, because it tastes very strong to them. But as we get older, we start to enjoy these things because we don't taste them as strongly as younger people do.
And we also know that we should eat them, so that weighs into it too. Like, would I rather have a donut over asparagus? Yeah.
Have you heard of panpsychism?
No.
I don't know how I can produce exactly, but roughly speaking is that there's consciousness that pervades all matter in the universe.
Right. Okay.
And that, you know, one idea, well, we talk about these simulations, right? It's just like, well, what if, because there seems to be a lot of like rigid rules that governs everything in our physical universe, and maybe one can just run it on a computer or something, but to what end? And if there is a God, I mean, maybe there's something that wants to experience everything. It's just like the ultimate TV is to be alive in the rocks and the walls and everything at the same time.
It was when I was right seat riding on Advan.
Okay.
And there was a car bomb and the unit I was with kind of went out to it and saw all the charred bodies in the vehicles and the people that had been killed around it.
What's that experience like?
It's one of those where I will say I never did have like the movie rookie moment where you're prepared.
You can be prepared for an experience like that because you know you're going to experience it. But like actually having it, it's got to be, I mean, I would think.
The most bracing thing, and I think the thing that always stays with you the rest of your life, is just the smell.
I've listened to too many people talk about their near-death experiences to believe that there's a physical place where people go in their human form.
Right.
In the afterlife.
Right.
I think we just become everything, everywhere, all at once.
Which is a movie I didn't care for at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. No. I didn't either. It was like a little too much for me.
We had a chick die there one night and literally Jessina revived her. She'd gotten coke and heroin mixed up or something like that. And she left in the morning, like still didn't even know where she was.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But finally, when we felt comfortable saying, take her the fuck out of here.
Right.
And 2 days later, I came home from work and there's this black box sitting in front of the door. And it was a big, giant tiramisu with a note from her that said, thanks for saving my life.
Alda. I mean, I guess tiramisu is as good a price for that as anything. Why not?
That was the best
gift. I wonder if she thought about it and was like, well, what's a good gift for somebody who actually saved my life? Wow. How was she?
Nah, I mean, she was like, just her heart stopped or something.
Right,
like that.
Right.
But it was.
Wow, that's nuts.
It was scary. I mean, because it was the one that we almost were like, we got to call the ambulance at this point.
But then she would have been deported.
And I was convinced I was going to get killed again. I was still in the mode of...
Interesting, yeah.
Because that's what I thought allowed me to function as a combat leader was assume you're already dead, and that way I don't spend a lot of time being worried about if I peek around this corner, if I go run up the street, that I'm going to get killed.
Uh-huh. That's a very interesting way of going through. I mean, I imagine a lot of people go through it that way.
Yeah, because that's I think it's the... For me, I it's the best way to go through it because then I'm not... I'm thinking about the mission. I'm thinking about my men. I was always worried about my guys.
Right.
I was never worried about myself.
Right. Because
I was like, if I get killed, I'll be the last person to know.
I think that people, when you get old enough, you hit a point where you're like, okay, I think I'm done.
No, I could see that.
I think there's an evolution that happens. And I think thinking about your mortality helps you get there. I think the people who get themselves in trouble, and I'm speaking on this only because I volunteered with hospice patients and I saw the people who were kind of waiting for death were very at peace.
Right.
More so than not. Like I didn't meet a lot of people who were like, I'm not ready to go.
But also like, what good does that sentiment or even thought do you in that point? Right.
It makes me feel that a life well lived can be enough. Like if you've lived your life right, which is the pressure,
right,
of using your time wisely and living your life in a way that's fulfilling so that you can die a good death and be like, be ready and content with that.
So there you go. That was the first episode of 1F Jeff the Podcast. What's that name again?
1F Jeff the Podcast.
Thank you very much.
I love you, Jeff.
So for the next several weeks, months, years, you can hear those interviews in full and interviews like it. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoyed making it. Please like, rate, and review this podcast, because while I don't really care how many people listen, I also do care how many people listen. Because we can't silence that part of our brain entirely, can we? And if you buy anything online, use promo code 1FJeff at checkout, because you never know. I guess that's it.
Very good, Jeffrey.